Are there different ways to believe? That's what we're going to investigate on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. We're currently in a series that we're calling Confusing Comments About Faith. We're taking a look at those things that some teachers say that ultimately confuse us. Today, Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar are going to tackle a pretty famous one. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome back to Grace in Focus. We are going over some confusing comments about faith. We're saved by faith apart from works, and the devil wants to make that as confusing as possible, even though salvation is so simple. What you'll often hear is that, well, believing isn't believing. In order to believe savingly, you need all kinds of other things in order to have the right kind of faith. Well, today we're going to look at Luke chapter 8, verses 12 and 13.
Part of the parable of the four soils.
And so here's what it says. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. This is Jesus basically explaining.
Right.
Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved.
Now look at that, lest they should believe and be saved.
So what happens if you believe?
You're saved.
And this is definitely eternal salvation here.
It seems there's nothing makes sense in the context other than this.
And interestingly, are they able to believe?
Yeah.
Right? Because that's why the devil shows up for his job, and he's trying to take that word away because he knows people can believe and be saved.
Right. There is a similar verse in 2 Corinthians 4:4 that says that the devil has blinded the eyes of people. And so God is in the business of taking away the blinders. When we respond to the truth we receive, he gives us more truth and ultimately takes the blinders away.
Well, in verse 13, it says, but the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And so the idea is that seed gets thrown, the word gets thrown onto rocky soil. They receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. Now, there's that word believe again, and we know if you believe, then you are
saved.
But is that what the commentators are going to say?
No, but let me first explain our view. Our understanding of this passage is what the Lord is talking about is one unbeliever and three types of believers. The first type of believer is the one without much depth of soil. There's a rock layer maybe 6 inches below, and so the roots go down, but there's no depth of root, and so they initially believe, but then in time of temptation, they fall away. And this person doesn't persevere to the end of their life in faith. The third soil is the one who believes all the way to the end, but they don't produce mature fruit. They bring forth some fruit, but not mature fruit. And the fourth soil is the good soil, which perseveres all the way to the end, but produces an abundant harvest. Our view would be that 2, 3, and 4 are all born-again people. In fact, 3 and 4 are not specifically said to believe. It's understood that each soil is better than the previous one. And 3 is specifically said to believe for a while.
Mm-hmm.
In my book, Confident in Christ, I talk about that if you were listening on the radio and you heard someone talking about John 3:16, the free gift of everlasting life by believing in him, and you believe that promise as you were driving down the highway, you'd be born again. If you then got in an accident 1 minute later and died instantly in the accident, you'd be born again, right?
Right.
Because you don't have to believe for years or months or hours. At the moment you believe, you're born again. Well, what happened if you died 1 second after you believed in Christ for your salvation? You'd be born again. Well, what happens if you died at the very moment you believed? You'd still be born again.
Mm-hmm.
That's our position. But now let's look at some of the commentaries.
Well, here's one from the Bible Knowledge Commentary produced by Dallas Theological Seminary.
And that's John Martin.
John Martin.
He was one of my professors, yeah.
And this is what he says. The fact that they believe for a while but fall away means that they only accept the facts of the word mentally and then reject it when the going gets tough. It does not mean they lose their salvation, for they had none to lose. So that's kind of interesting. So he's saying, well, they believed, yes, but they only accepted the facts mentally.
Yeah, there's nothing in the passage that says that. How else do you believe? Is there some other way of believing besides mentally?
Right.
And on top of all that, he's not explaining the previous verse, in verse 12, where it says, lest they should believe
And be saved.
And the very next verse says they believed.
Yeah.
Therefore, there's only two ways to argue. Number one, you could take the Arminian view and say they believed for a time, and during the time they believed, they were saved.
Right.
And when they fell away, they lost their salvation.
Right.
Or you could take the view, which is the correct view, which is eternal life is eternal. It can't be lost. And we know that from the teaching of Jesus, for example, John 5:24. And so as a result, they believed and they were saved. And when they stopped believing and fell away, they continued to be saved.
Right.
But you can't take the view that Dr. Martin takes, that they were never born again in the first place.
He's importing a lot of theology into the text there.
Yes. Here's Leon Morris, who, by the way, I like his commentaries on various books. I have a number of commentaries by him, and he always makes good comments. On this one, I think he misses it a bit. He talks about this, and he says, "The ones on the rock do a little better. They are happy to receive the word, but there is no depth in them. In time of testing, they fall away." And he says there's two ways to understand this parable. And the first way, he says, sees it as encouraging disciples with the contrast between small beginnings and the ultimate rich harvest. In other words, they're seeing this as Jesus saying, you know what, there are going to be a lot of people who reject what I say and what you say, but there are going to be people who accept it, and that's the good soil. But the other way, which he thinks is more accurate, emphasizes the importance of the right reaction to hearing the word. If we take it in, a rich harvest results.
Right.
But if we react like the path, the rock, or the thorns, we finish with nothing.
Right.
Well, he's lumping together 1, 2, and 3 and saying these are three types of unbelievers, even though 2 specifically says they believe.
Right.
And so that's kind of confusing and not the normal I see from Leon Morris.
Well, here's one from Robert Stein. He says he understands that faith was clearly the means by which salvation comes to the individual. So that's good. But here's what he says. The second kind of soil hears and joyfully receives the word. The term receive is a Lucan expression for responding positively towards Jesus, the gospel, or the gospel messengers. These hearers even receive the word with the proper attitude of joy. But they have no root. They believe for a while. Criticism is not directed to the quality or kind of faith these hearers possess. The problem is rather that they only hold this faith, quote unquote, for a while. But as the rest of this text and the full canonical message suggests, this faith is not saving faith. So it sounds like Stein is saying it's not saving faith. He's not questioning the quality of the faith here. He's questioning the length of the faith. And it sounds like he's saying, you know, you have to keep on believing to keep on being saved. So maybe he's an Arminian. I don't know.
Well, or a Calvinist, because Calvin came up with the idea of temporary faith from this passage. And he said there is such a thing as temporary faith, which is believing the right things in the right way, but just for a temporary time. And since Calvin later came to believe that faith was a gift of God, and that once you got that gift, it was a permanent gift and you couldn't stop believing.
Right.
Therefore, if you stop believing, it wasn't true saving faith, even though it was believing the right things.
Right.
So that's led to a lot of confusion among Calvinists, because then it's like, well, how do you know you have true, genuine, saving faith?
Right.
Well, the way you know it is because you persevere till you die.
Right.
Well, what happens if you come to faith, or at least you think you come to faith, when you're 14?
Right.
And when you're 84, you stop believing. Oops, I guess what I thought was saving faith for 70 years really wasn't.
Right. It really puts a question mark over your whole life.
Because you're always wondering, am I going to persevere? Let me show you this one. This is from C. Marvin Payton. I like his commentaries, too. He says, concerning the second soil, the seed that fell on the rocky soil represents those who receive the gospel with initial enthusiasm, but because they have no root, and he says no depth of their faith, they do not last when the time of trial comes. They fall away. And then he goes on to say, put another way, trials reveal whether or not a person has genuine faith.
Hmm.
Well, that is a very common understanding in the commentary literature. It's just commonly wrong. because the text is clear, lest they should believe and be saved. In other words, Satan believes in eternal security. That's why he's snatching away the seed before people can believe it and be saved.
Right.
Therefore, verse 13 is telling us these people are saved because they believe. And by the way, when it says for a while is a very open-ended statement. Does that mean an hour, a day, a week, a month, a year, a decade? It could mean any of the above.
Mm-hmm.
That's why for the Calvinist, if your faith ever stops, well, you weren't born again in the first place.
Well, I've been thinking about what John Martin said and why he's talking about believe the facts mentally. And I wonder if it's because of verse 12. Where does the devil take the seed out of? It says that he comes and takes the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe. And I'm thinking a lot of people believe in something called heart faith. You know, they say there's a difference between head faith and heart faith. And heart faith is what you need to believe with to be saved. So maybe, I don't know if John Martin saw, oh, he takes that out of their hearts. So that means these guys who believed must have only believed with their minds. Do you think that's a legitimate interpretation of this? Is there a difference between heart faith and head faith?
No, and I have a chapter on that in my book, Confident in Christ. And I talk about how head faith and heart faith is just a game people play. There's no distinction. The word heart is used in Scripture to refer to the inner person, the place where belief occurs, the place where feelings occur, etc. And there are other words used too, like the bowels, sometimes translated heart, but it's splankne, and it can refer to the bowels, and that can refer to the inner person or the place of feeling and emotion too, or soul can refer to the inner man also. And so this is not obviously the physical heart, and it's not the spiritual heart, it's just the inner person. And so the point here in Luke 8, 12 and 13 is that once we believe in Christ, we're saved once and for all. And if we later stop believing in time of temptation, well, we're still saved.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we call good news. Isn't it good news to know that once you believe in Jesus Christ, you're saved forever. Once saved, always saved.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you be interested in some free ebooks on subjects like what you hear on the show? Well, if you are, you need to come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On the site, we've got all kinds of free materials, but one of our popular options are our free ebooks on a range of subjects. They're designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of the faith and Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out more about how you can give, go to faithalone.org. Would you like to have a chat with Dr. Bob or Sean? I know that I enjoy it. Let me tell you how to reach out to the team. You can get us on our email address, which is radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, tomorrow on the program, we're going to be asking this question. What is the purpose of the Sermon on the Mount? You do not want to miss that episode. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.